Somebody asked me, what are you speaking about this morning? I said, about Jesus. Well, it says in the bulletin, who is the Lord of hosts? True. It's about Jesus. Now, there's something that I have done that a lot of you don't know about. I have taken my graduate school courses from the past and have organized it according to 16 weeks of study, and it's on blueletter.org. Blueletter.org. That was originally a search engine of the King James Bible, but it now has much more. There is Blue Letter Bible Institute. You click it, and you will be amazed at what you find. I have 4 graduate school courses on there, and they are now reaching way over 100,000 people in 150 countries of the world. You can take it for credit, or you can audit it. This is the only program online that is credited by the Western Association of Schools and Universities. In other words, it's transferable if you're in college or university or want to get credit. We try to make it quality stuff. One of those courses is Christology. That is the doctrine of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ our Lord. And in that, I have a very difficult subject called the Lord of Hosts. We also deal with the pre-incarnate ministry of our Lord. He is the eternal Son of God. He didn't begin when he was a baby in Bethlehem. We need to understand a lot about the Bible. It's the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. The only other thing I would recommend would be my books, which, of course, are about the Bible. The last time I was here, which was quite a while ago, several people asked me if I had ever written anything on Romans. No, but I have a lot of messages on Romans. Well, I've been working on it for 10 years, and I just finished it, and it's out on the table. That big book called The Gospel of Jesus Christ, Studies in Romans. We also, as we mentioned last evening, I have redone the book of Revelation. The original book was 270 pages, and we're no more of those. So I've been working for quite a while on updating that and revising it and so forth. The new book I've just finished, 574 pages, not 270, and it'll be out August 1st. So you might be looking for that. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Will you join me in a moment of prayer? Father, we thank you for this privilege. What we see across the North American church scene is a lot of people are saying what they want to say instead of what you have said. And we know, Lord, there is a weakness among us about who Jesus really is. There's been controversy like crazy in recent days. And I pray, Lord, that what we say today will restore our confidence in the greatness and majesty of our blessed Lord Yeshua. Thank you, Lord, for this time. I pray for those that are not real acquainted with the Bible, that God, you will, by your Holy Spirit, make things clear to them, and that all of us may know what it means to truly be born again, to bow the knee to the one who we sang about today, the King of Glory, the Lord of Hosts. Thank you, Lord. In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, the phrase Lord of Hosts, when we say who is the Lord of Hosts, is a part of the problem. The Hebrew, I think it's on there, if you can put it up there. Here it is. Yahweh or Yahweh. That's what we call the Tetragrammaton. It's 4 letters. If you have an old King James Bible, or a New King James, they're pretty consistent in putting the tetragrammaton into four capital letters, L-O-R-D. Now, there's another word in Hebrew called Lord, and it's the word Adonai, which is referring to an earthly Lord. Is our Lord, Jesus Christ, an earthly Lord? Absolutely. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. But he is also Yahweh Sabaoth. That's not the Sabbath day. That's the word Shabbat. In Hebrew, Sabaoth is referring to hosts or armies. That might be easier for you to identify with. Who is the Lord of armies? This is not a small subject, and I wonder why I couldn't find it on the entire internet. I wonder why our words about Jesus are so weak, insufficient, shallow, to say the least. Maybe that's what's wrong in the North American situation and why we are seeing the gospel stripped of its power. You see, the power of the gospel is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's more than just referring to somebody who was here over 1,900 years ago. And I hope that in this morning's message, though we cannot cover the entire subject, but I hope what we share with you will open up your heart. Now, I use a lot of Bible. Why? Because it's the only important thing I ever say. We need to know the Bible. The Bible could change your life. You ought to read it every day. You ought to consult it every time you have a decision to make. Yahweh Sabaoth, Lord of armies, used 245 times in the Bible. I have delivered this also in Jewish congregations. That might surprise you. And I don't mean Messianic Jewish congregations. I mean the regular ones. Why do they keep asking me to come? I don't know. Maybe they're into some sort of Jewish masochism. I don't know. They want me to beat them up a little bit. But you see, I have seen, even in the Jewish market, I've spoken in many, many congregations, including the largest Jewish congregation in the world, 12,000 people in attendance. And I have seen a hunger to know the truth, and especially about the Mashiach or the Messiah. There's a lot of debate in the land of Israel, if you don't know about it. And there's a lot of people that are evidently coming to believe the truth about Yeshua. You say, how do you know that? Well, I quote to you the words of Israel's prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, who just a couple months ago was rebuking the Knesset for all of their attacks on Jewish messianic believers in Israel. And he said, we got to stop biting the hand that feeds us. He said, now you guys are always telling everybody that we have 10,000 Jews out of 7.5 million who believe in Yeshua as the Messiah. He says, well, you're wrong. They cheered him until they heard his answer. There are not 10,000 of them. We already know by address that there's over 220,000 of them. God's doing something wonderful in Israel. We used to say there were 100 congregations that were messianic. Now, our own prime minister of Israel says, no, there's 230. It's amazing what's happening. There's a lot of rabbis also who have come to know the Lord. Because somewhere along the line, you're going to have to study the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. And even if you don't use the New Testament, you're going to have to find out what these terms are. What is it all about? One of the interesting things is that the words Lord of hosts, which is used 245 times, you can find that 202 of those times in only four books of the Bible. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, and the Italian prophet Malachi. His name is Malachi. Anyway. Now I'm going to give you 15 statements about who is the Lord of hosts, to try to answer the question. It's a very huge question. You might be interested to know that there are several major denominations that do not believe what I'm going to tell you this morning. And I hope it exposes to all of you what is really wrong in the teaching of our churches. We've gotten very shallow. The theology today is toleration. Tolerate anything and everything and never offend anybody. Well, that is stupid if I ever heard anything. The Bible offends a lot of folks, especially the wicked. So I'm going to give these to you, 15 of them. You might want to take notes. And we'll do about an hour for each one. We should be out. You don't think I could, huh? Number one, his person. Interestingly, this Lord of hosts is called the God of Israel multiple times. And you see, that's tough for a Jew to accept, even though he knows there's something strange about this. You still got your Bible open, Isaiah 44, verse 6. You notice I have a King James Bible I'm reading. I notice the first word, Lord, is all capitals. That means it's a tetragrammaton, Yahweh. He's the King of Israel. All Jews, all Gentiles say the same thing. That's the Father, and I agree. Now, the next thing we see is, and his Redeemer. There's a second person in the text. It's his, the King of Israel, it's his Redeemer. Now, every Jew knows, and we should all know, that the word Redeemer is used in the Bible for the Messiah himself as the only Redeemer. Now, it says after his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. If two guys wearing ties and white shirt and riding bicycles come by your home, they're going to tell you that the second word is Adonai and the first word is Yahweh. This way they get out of dealing with the person of the Lord of hosts. Well, I'm sorry if you believe that because that's not true. Both words in Hebrew are Yahweh. We have two Yahwehs in the same verse. And this one is called Yahweh of hosts. And this one says, I am the first and I am the last, quoted in the book of Revelation about our Lord Yeshua. And beside me, there is no what? There's no God. And right away, we see the difficulty that so many Gentile Christian groups, as well as Jewish, have with the subject of the Lord of hosts. Maybe that's why you can't find a message on it anywhere on the internet out of the thousands that we have. And you can search and search all day, and you will not find a message on the subject. Incredible. In Psalm 46, 7 to 11, which is on that text, I put the scriptures down so that you can look at them up later. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is your refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen or the Gentiles, the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge and all God's peoples. Rightly said, amen. By the way, feel free to express your confidence or your support of anything that comes out of the Bible. I don't care about me, but if it comes out of the Bible, it's time to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I need to warn you that God does not like your silence. I know a lot of churches emphasize that, and that's stupid also. God's ticked off at our silence. We're supposed to rejoice and shout aloud, especially when anything about him is mentioned. Wow. Isaiah 1:24, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. Isaiah 5, verse 16, the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God, who is holy, shall be sanctified in righteousness, meaning being set apart from us. In Isaiah 28, 29, this is also coming forth from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. In Jeremiah 32, 17 and 18, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There's nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompenses the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Over and over again on the internet, I found men who supposedly should know the Bible, preachers, who said, well, the Lord of hosts is not Jesus. You see, they're troubled every time they read God's word. Because over and over again, it calls him God. His person is an issue. Number two is his praise. It's amazing how often we are told to praise the Lord of hosts. In Jeremiah 33, 11, it says, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. And of those who bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, hopefully we were doing that, for I will cause the return to captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord, Yahweh. Wow. In Isaiah 28, verse 5, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, a diadem of beauty under the residue of his people. In Isaiah 48, 2, they call themselves of the holy city and stay themselves fixed upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. That's what it says. In 2 Samuel 7, 26, let thy name be magnified forever. The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. Let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. Let's go to number three, his preeminence. Preeminence is a wonderful word. And our God is preeminent. In Isaiah 6, when good King Uzziah died, the Bible says, Isaiah said it, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Again, it's the four letters, tetragrammaton, I saw Yahweh, seated upon a throne. And the train of his garment and presence filled the temple. And the posts of the doors of the temple were just shaking with the power of the voice of the Lord. It's amazing what is said. The seraphim angels show up, and they start singing. And here's what they say. Very clear. One cried unto another, Isaiah 6, verse 3, and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. When you realize as you go through these passages that you are talking about our Lord Jesus, we have lots of songs like, his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. And one of the stanzas says, we need to bow down and adore him. And I was saddened to hear a preacher say on a message that he was delivering on the website, which I suppose he preached somewhere, he said that we have to be careful we don't worship Jesus too much. What? I have to be careful that I ever listen to you again. Something's really wrong. Number four, his position. Wow. Even in Isaiah 6, 5, woe is me, for I am undone, said Isaiah. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. In Isaiah 37, verse 16, it says, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, who dwelleth between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Now, I'd like to say a brief word, to you about this teaching called Chrislam. That Christianity and Islam need to find a common source of belief and that we're all worshiping the same God. I'd like to clear that up for you. We are not worshiping the same God. Allah is one of the 360 pagan deities of ancient Mecca, and I consider it an offense for anybody to even tell me that. No, our Lord God is the Lord God of armies, and he's over all the kingdoms of the earth, and there is no other God beside him. Amen. Never has been. We sang this song about Psalm 24 this morning. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The text asks the question, who is the King of glory? Answer, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Well, who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I don't know who you thought you were singing about, but you were singing about our blessed Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's take a look at his power, number 5. I love the story of David and Goliath. I used to tell it to our kids when they were small, and I get a little dramatic. That probably would be a surprise to you. And I used to have to play the giant. I didn't like that very much. But here's what David said to that giant, that Philistine. I'll summarize the story. He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I'll smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the field, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. All this assembly will know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. In Isaiah 51:15, I am the Lord thy God who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is my name. Jeremiah 31, thus saith the Lord who giveth the sun for a light by day, the moon for a light by night, and the stars by night, who divideth the sea when the waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If these ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel will cease from being a nation before me forever. Why do I believe that God has never given up on Israel? He's the Lord of hosts. By the way, he's going to defend Israel against all the armies of the world, and nobody is going to fight with him. That's a little disappointing to me. I kind of thought I might have an Uzi and fight along with my Lord. But he says he's going to tread the winepress of his wrath all alone. Nobody will be with him. His blood will be stained by the blood of his enemies. And he's going to go up to the Mount of Olives as every ancient monarch did who conquered Jerusalem, lift his sword to the sky and declare victory over the whole world. And the Bible says he will destroy, literally wipe out, every army of every nation who came to attack his people Israel and thought they could get away with it. We got over 1 billion people in this world whose goal in life is to remove the Jews off the planet and to get rid of the nation of Israel. Many of them, with tongue in cheek, have to follow it, lest their own family be killed. And now we have a gigantic terrorist organization called ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. They want to have a caliphate, an empire. We've had it before. We had it when the Ottoman Turks were ruling, and that was conquered in World War I. But they want it back. They want to rule the entire Middle East. There is one problem to their goal. It's a little piece of real estate called Israel. They're not stupid. They know that it's dangerous to take Israel on. What they don't know is that the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, is behind them. They're worried about their nuclear arsenal. God is not, and he won't even need to use it. His power is great. Number six, his protection. Isaiah 31, verse 4 and 5. For thus saith the Lord, who spoke unto me, as the lion or the young lion roaring on its prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. Why? Because the Lord of hosts is going to come down and fight for Mount Zion. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it. And passing over it, he will preserve it. Who is this? The Lord of armies, who is the only God there is. Number seven, his people. According to the Bible, Isaiah 1:9, except the Lord of hosts had left us a small remnant, we should have been like Sodom and been like Gomorrah. In Isaiah 5, verse 7, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. In Jeremiah 10, verse 16, the portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. In Jeremiah 51, verse 5, for Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. God's going to protect his people. Number eight, his place. One of the interesting things is to examine what the Bible says is, where is the Lord of hosts? Well, there's a sense in which I can tell you all, he fills the universe with his presence. I don't quite understand that, but he's everywhere. Apparently, he's invisible to our created naked eye. But one day, the Bible says we will see his face. That's remarkable also. Psalm 48:8, as we have heard, so we have seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, which is the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Jerusalem's been conquered 158 times in history. But I want you to know that it's God's city. And the Lord of hosts runs it. And he's going to make it last forever. He says he's placed his name there. In Isaiah 8:18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, now listen to this, who dwelleth in Mount Zion. It's present tense in Hebrew. You say, wait a minute, you mean he's going to? No, I mean he is now. As Jewish rabbis will tell you, though not believing the truth about the Lord of hosts, they believe it refers to the Father in heaven. But it's very interesting to me that they all believe that there's something different about Jerusalem. How many of you had an Israel tour? Oh, good, a lot of you. I'm going again. I go there every year. And there is something different. And what the UN put out about wickedness and righteousness really was impressive. Out of the top 100 cities of the world, the worst one for all kinds of evil, you're not going to believe this, is Tel Aviv, Israel. In slave traffic and abortions and you name it, in violence, all of it. They are the worst city in drunkenness and drug addiction, the worst city. The Russian mafia control the place, and it's terrible. And only 50 miles away is the city of Yerushalayim or Jerusalem. And guess what? According to the UN, the city most righteous on the entire planet is Jerusalem. Well, it's more righteous than they know. In Isaiah 18:7, in that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts by a people scattered and peeled, and from a people terrible from their beginning, a nation meted out, trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, to his presence. And where is it? It is Mount Zion. Psalm 84:1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. In verse 3, yea, the sparrow found a house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord, my King and my God. In Haggai 2:4, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you here. I'm dwelling here now, saith the Lord of hosts. Sometimes when I come into Jerusalem, I can't explain why I feel the way I do. And I love it when your tour bus is coming into Jerusalem, they usually put on the music of the holy city. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It's amazing how you feel. How many of you have not gone, and if somebody paid your way today, you would go? Look at that. Wow. Bless your hearts. Number 10, his punishment. No one wants to talk about this, but Isaiah 2, verse 12. The day of the Lord of hosts is upon everyone who's proud and lofty, everyone who lifts their heads up, they will be brought low. Isaiah 5:16, the Lord of hosts will be exalted in judgment, and God who is holy will be sanctified. Isaiah 9:19, through the wrath of the Lord of hosts will the land be darkened, the people shall be as fuel of the fire, and no man will spare his brother. Isaiah 13:13, therefore I will shake the heavens, the earth will remove out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. You know, I was so struck by that about a year ago. It was in the summer last year. And it dealt with the words, the day of the Lord. A lot of pastor friends of mine spoke of it in glowing terms, how we all are looking forward to it. But you know, I've studied all 25 times that the day of the Lord is used, and there's nothing beautiful or peaceful or wonderful about it. It's a day of judgment. It's a day of God's vengeance and wrath being poured out on the earth. So I decided to go to task on this and to write a book about the day of the Lord is coming. Paul said to a young church at Thessalonica, he said, you don't need me to tell you about this because I already spoke to you about it, but the day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. When they say peace and homeland security, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not a part of the day of the Lord. We are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord. So I put out that book. It's on the back table back there called The Day of the Lord is Coming. One lady bought it and read it. She has reported now to us, don't tell the people to read that book before they go to bed. She said, I've been up all night. It scared the daylights out of me. But it's about time somebody told us that there's a day coming in which God, through his Son, who is God the Son, is going to take over planet Earth. All the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. Haggai 2:7 says, I'll shake all nations. The desire of all nations shall come. That's what the Messiah is called, the desire. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Number 11, his possessions. In Haggai 2:8, interesting little verse, just short but powerful. He said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and the wealth in every mine is his. You say, well, why are we taking offerings in church? Well, that's to run the circumstances of that church where you attend. Pay the light bill and all that stuff. All the building costs and everything else. And to also support the leaders, as the Bible teaches to us. But if you think you're giving because God's broke, you better think again. And all those guys selling you gold and silver, what a stupid decision that is. Now, if you bought it, I'm sorry. But just read James, and he will tell you the truth. The gold and silver you've been piling up is cankered. It's rusted out. It won't do anything for you in the day of God's judgment. Wow. Number 12 is his plans. I love this, Isaiah 9:7. Maybe you read verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. Meaning he's going to run the whole thing. Doesn't need a cabinet, an army, or any of it. There'll be no Congress anymore. Hallelujah. Anyway. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end on the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And the zeal, watch this, of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Wow. Number 13 is his purposes. In Isaiah 14:27, the Lord of hosts hath purposed on the whole earth. This is his hand that is stretched out on all the nations. When you wake up and turn on Fox News or CNN or some other place, just remember they don't know squat about what God is doing. You read your Bible, you find out the whole story. God is engineering all nations to be set up for the coming wrath of Almighty God. Isaiah 19:12, where are they, the wise men? Let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts hath purposed. In Isaiah 19:16-17, in that day shall Egypt be like women. It shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shakes over it. The land of Judah will be a terror unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention of it shall be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. Isaiah 19:25, the Lord of hosts will bless one day and say, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria or Iraq, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. In Isaiah 23:9, the Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all the glory of this world and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. In Micah 4:4, they shall sit every man under his vine, under his fig tree. None shall make them afraid. Why? For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Number 14 is his peace. The peace process at Oslo, Norway, that began on September the 13th, 1993, is a colossal waste of time and a gigantic failure. Imagine that the enemies of Israel have now decided that it's okay to have a terrorist group trying to make peace with Israel. Hamas, the ones who stole those three teenagers recently, kidnapped them. I just want you to know that it's the Lord of hosts who can bring you peace. The Bible says in Psalm 84:12, not only that, but he will bless every person who trusts in him. In Haggai 2:9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. We're going to have peace on this planet because of the Lord of armies. One last thing, only for today's message. You've just started to study the subject. Verse 15 is his pardon. We read in our opening verse, Isaiah 44, verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. In Isaiah 47, verse 4, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Isn't it interesting how often God doesn't trust you to remember any of this? In Isaiah 54, 5, thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. Jeremiah 50, verse 34, their Redeemer is strong, the Lord of hosts is his name. And all God's people said, amen. Here's a quick summary. I found all of this in God's word. The Lord of hosts is called the Redeemer, the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, the Mighty One of Israel, the Mighty God, El Gabor, the King of all kings, the King of glory, the God of the armies of Israel, and the Holy One of Israel, the King of Israel, and the Messiah, the one we are looking forward to seeing soon. What's the punchline here? Watch out what you are hearing and they're asking you to believe. First of all, there's only one God. There's not two, there's not three, there's only one God. I'm sorry about the word Trinity, which does not appear in the Bible, by the way. It's a good word if you understand what it meant in history, but a lot of people don't. They think it's three gods. No, it's not. I think a better word would be the triunity of God. God can manifest himself as Father and as Son and as Holy Spirit. But there's only one God. There's never been any more. None of the gods of man's religion on planet Earth have ever been up to par or equal to the God of the Bible. If you're a little short on this, we have a book called The God of the Bible that we use in a course that is on blueletter.org called The Attributes and Abilities of God. Several years ago, I was teaching in graduate school about the nature, abilities, and attributes of God. And as I opened the class, I noticed amongst all the men of the class, there was a lady right in the back. She looked very familiar. It was my wife. She wanted to attend my class. She took the exam, and by the way, she got an A, okay? Don't even ask me. I'm not stupid, okay? But on her final paper, which I've kept, I treasure it, she wrote me a note. See, David, I love you. I like being married to you. But what I just heard about God is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. It has changed me completely. I'm not fooling around with you this morning. I hope you know that. Some of us are living in a Christian world that has made the great doctrines of the Bible cheap, insufficient, inadequate, very shallow. Don't tell me all you have to do is believe in Jesus. That's another stupid answer. Why? There are thousands of guys down in Mexico named Jesus, and they can't save you. It's who he really is. He is the only God there is. Jesus said to some questioning religious leaders of his day, I and the Father are one. We need to understand the truth of the Bible. It'll set you free. You will understand why when we sing songs about bowing and adoring him, you'll understand it's rooted in the passages of the Word of God. We are like sheep in his pasture, and we come to worship him. We want to bow in his presence, for he is God, and there is no other. I pray that if there's a little weakness in you this morning about your relationship to God and his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, not two gods, one God. If you're a little weak, I know what God, the Holy Spirit, can do. He can begin to work in your heart and through God's word, for faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God can show you whether or not you have really been born again or not. There is no greater decision. There's no greater preparation for what's about to take place on planet Earth. May God help us all. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We'd be so lost without it, and even with it, there are so many questions that run through our minds. Lord, I don't know the hearts of the people that are in this audience, but you do. None of us can fool you, and you tell us how the human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and only the God who made us really knows what we're like. Thank you for your love and your patience. You are a God who pardons us. You tell us you are abundant in pardon, and you are quick and ready to forgive. Oh, how we thank you. And Lord, I know it's easy to let junk come into our life or to listen to the wrong messages. And before long, we have wandered away from you without realizing it. God, bring us back. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, please don't look around. Maintain privacy for everybody as I interrupt my prayer for just a moment. If you're in this meeting, you know something is wrong. We don't need to hear it or have you discuss it, but you know in your heart something's wrong. I'm going to ask you right now, though no one on either side of you knows what you're doing, you do and God does, that right where you're sitting, you would lift your hand up to the Lord and say, God, please help me. Please. Yes, all over the audience. Please help me, Lord. I got to settle this and stop messing around. I need to know if I died today, like the Bible says, absent from the body and present with the Lord. I need to know that. I need to settle this. Father, I want to thank you for all these precious people who lifted their hand to you. We have taken this matter too lightly for so long. And I pray there'd be a new spirit of worship in this place. And God, you would bring your understanding from your word into the lives of all of us who lifted our hand to you and said, God, please help me. We need you, Lord. And I pray there'd be some real changes. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In the blessed name that is above every name, the name of the Messiah of Israel, the only God of Israel there is. Thank you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.